The Eternal Time Spread was developed over two years. But it was only recently that I graduated the two clients who I had been working with, thanks to this spread. And I really feel that it's an extremely flexible spread, that it can be used as a 9-card reading, or as a 6-card reading, or as a 3-card reading. And my language doesn't have to be your language. Please feel free, of course we all do, to use whatever language you feel is appropriate for yourself, for your client, and for the situation at hand. What I found working with two very unusual clients for me, two musicians, was that they understood the language of vibration, of tone, of note, and of number. That they got right away. They were really extremely, extremely bright men, but they did see me over a period of 2 years, and I felt I had to find a way to move them to a higher plane of thinking for themselves, and to actually work with the tarot themselves. They had worked with other oracle systems, specifically the I Ching, both of them had. And they were willing to buy a Rider-Waite Smith deck. I'm so pleased Rachel is here. They were willing to get Rachel's book and Mary's first book. And I felt that this is the kind of client, you know, who is so flexible and so willing to learn, that I did this spread for them sort of as a graduation spread, and to enable them to work with the cards themselves. All along through these 2 years, I had attempted to teach them through their repetitive questions, their obsessing on issues that came up. They may have worded it differently, but essentially the issue was the same. Different for each one of them, but the same for them. And I found that one of them had a creative block issue. The other, it was a more financially oriented issue, although both, of course, they were the kind of musicians, I would say, Johanna gave me the wording for studio musicians. And they had been referred by somebody who was no longer a studio musician, but working pretty successfully in the rock music industry. And he had been a long-standing, I would say, 15-year dental patient of my husband. And that's how those other musicians ended up coming to me. The Eternal Time Spread is really designed for those people who have been coming to you over and over again with those same issues. And this is what I found worked for them and worked for myself. Certainly, I have those kinds of issues, and perhaps I can't speak for others, but I suspect many creative people do as well. I found that by working with the language of Kronos, Kairos, and Cosmos, I was able to communicate to them the concept of linear time, as per the card, with the minors. And I privileged the first minor card from the top of the deck in this layout as my Kronos position. I privileged the first major arcana card from the top of the deck, a shuffle deck, as the Kairos position. And I privileged the core card at the very top of what became a triangle as the Cosmos and Master Number spread, Master Number card. Now, Paul pointed out to me that he felt a more appropriate language for Cosmos would be Aeon. Now, let me go through what I meant by these three terms. For me, Kronos is clock time, calendar time, astrological time, linear time, the kind of time we work through and speak with on a daily basis. Kairos, on the other hand, for me, and the way it worked for these two guys specifically, and I've worked with this spread with a few people in my family and a couple of friends. Kairos is when you're in the flow. That's the language that has been used with athletes. They describe being in the flow. Joseph Campbell calls it following your bliss. My musicians call it my mojo's good. This is when you're totally focused and unaware of time. You're so absorbed in whatever creative pursuit you're in, and this could be a business pursuit, no matter, that you have literally lost track of time. And it's a pretty blissful kind of moment. The cosmos, or aeon moment, is your ability to take the kairos moment and recognize your choice points to the right and to the left of each of these time aspects or ways of expression as elevating you in the situation and question presented. It's not that you have become a master number. We are not adding up the numbers of your name, your birthday, etc., etc. This is not the kind of spread where we do this. We are using the master numbers in a unique kind of way with the core cards in order to express this eternal kind of time, this cosmic moment. And it's a very, very limited expression to the situation of the client or the situation you're presenting yourself to the reading. So, and I called it eternal time in honor of that concept. Does anyone have any questions about the meaning of Kronos, Kairos, or Cosmos? Okay. Now, if you take out your spread, you'll see that the core card is at the top under Cosmos. The minor pep card is on top of Kronos, and the major arcane is on top of Kairos. Numbers 1, 3, and 5. Please put an R for right. Right hand. Numbers 2, 4, and 6, please put an L on top for your left hand. So we're expressing the right as the active solar, active elements that are right here and present to you and available to you. It's a choice point for both 1, 3, and 5. The right-sided cards are your choice points that are active and available to you right now. Cards 2, 4, and 6, your left, lunar, more receptive, incoming cards, are choice points that will be available to you soon. And this is the spread that will alert you to what's present in your life and what is incoming into your life as per this choice point, as per these choice points for this situation. It is not a global spread. We are not talking about a situation or a spread that answers questions for all time. No. This is a very specific kind of time frame that we're working with, ironically, although we call it an eternal spread, because it is specific to the situation and the client at that moment. Any questions so far? Okay, a little bit of background. Okay, we talked about the musicians. If you go to the cards that I'm so grateful that Johanna was able to do the Rider-Waite-Smith core card sheet. You'll see that I call them the core cards number vibration. Now, unusually, I skip right over the 11 master number, and on the next page you'll see the lower number that I start with is 22. Now, my reason for doing this is a very selfish one, and you may choose to do otherwise.
I'm glad you're raising this, Cynthia, because last night I was dreaming about this.
Oh, really?
I was dreaming about, what do you start with 11 or 22? How do
right,
you get
right.
from How do you get from 10 to 22?
Right. Okay. The master numbers usually start traditionally with 11. I have avoided 11 like the plague as a master number because anyone who's read Faith Javon's wonderful and singular book on the master numbers knows that they're extremely problematic. My goal for this spread was to show the cards in their most positive light. And when I give you the examples from David, you'll see traditionally not all these cards are spoken of in a positive light. So in order to help these guys get over the block, the negative chatter inside their heads about their issues, for this reading and for purposes of this reading only, I take the cards in no reversals, and only in their upright position, and I read them in their most positive light. Now, this is not something I do all the time and did not do with them all the time, but this is the way this reading is done. I skipped over the 11 because it's extremely problematic. On the first sheet, I have a cross, the King of Wands, the Queen of Cups, the Knight of Swords, and the Page of Pentacles. They are the purest elemental court cards. And for that reason, I have assigned them the highest master number I work with, which is 55. I use that number only for the cosmic position, the cosmos position, the core card at the top of the triangle. You may have core cards to the right and to the left. They are assigned a different number if you're going to work with a number at all. So please be aware the master numbers are only for the core card taken from the top of the deck. The right and the left cards are the six cards you've taken from the bottom of your deck. And I call them the mother cards, thanks to Rachel, although I've taken great liberties with it, and please, Rachel, don't be upset that I have. But I consider the cards from the bottom of the deck the mother cards. Okay.
Why you call those four cards the purest form of the...
Okay. The King of Wands is fire of fire.
Okay.
The Queen of Cups is water of water. The Knight of Swords is air of air. And the Page of Pentacles is earth of earth. And
okay, that was on the new handout. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't see that before.
That's okay. Now, cards to the right and to the left, incoming or active or solar. Cards to the left, lunar, more receptive, incoming, choice points. All of those six cards are choice points. Might be assigned numbers 10, 5, or a 1. This is the most complicated. Should you get a King of Wands, a Queen of Cups, a Knight of Swords, or a Page of Pentacles as a right or a left incoming or active card? So at that point, you're 10 and you're 1, you have to make a decision about. If it's to your right, I would pick the higher number, the 10, if that core card happens to fall to the right or the left. Otherwise, I would pick a 5 or a 1, and this is only for those four cards. However, for the Queen of Wands, the Knight of Cups, the Page of Swords, and the King of Pentacles, I've assigned those cards the 44 master number. If they are to the right of your central card position, they are an 8. If they are to the left, they are a 4. Turning over the page, we have the Knight of Wands, the Page of Cups, the King of Swords, and the Queen of Pentacles. Their master number is a 33. Otherwise, if to the right in the active position, it's a 6. And if it's incoming on the left side, it's a 3. For the Page of Wands, the King of Cups, the Queen of Swords, and the Knight of Pentacles, the master number is a 22. If it's in the central position, master numbers are only in the central position at the top of the triangle in the cosmos position. Otherwise, if they are to the right in the active position, choice points of your other cards, or you could have two core cards, as will be in the example we're going to do from David's question, it's either a four if it's to the right, or a two if it's to the left. Four being the active solar choice point, two being the incoming lunar receptive choice point. Are there any questions about that? Okay. Now, Paul also pointed out, and I did finally see it on the front page, actually, of the Wall Street Journal, that recently, very recently, I think in the past week or two, this fellow, David something or other, Major David Jenkins, something like that, has been debunked as someone working with Wall Street people as a psychic. And he's been on, the Wall Street Journal goes on to say, has been on Coast to Coast many times. I am not using this to predict Wall Street. I never have. I am using the master numbers heretically with the core cards for the purpose of this spread. So it's a contained situation. The attributions of purist to the lower cards goes right down the line. And if you have read Robert Wang, who I am in debt to, his Kabbalistic Tarot, you'll see where all of that came from. And I'm certainly in debt to Wald for his 16 CD course on the core cards. However, I am not using his system in this spread. Another interesting credit I have to give in terms of the Zohar itself, and something that should be mentioned right at the beginning that gave me my audacity to do this, I would say, were books like this one. Not this one in particular, but certainly this one is the finest. It's called A River Flows from Eden, The Language of Mystical Experience in the Zohar. And it's by Melilla Hellner-Eshed. And she is herself a Kabbalist. Now, what she describes in her text is an amazing variation from the Tree of Life attributions of the Sephirot that we have come to understand through the Golden Dawn. She claims, and makes a very strong academic case for other attributions for the Sephirot. Now, while the names are still Yasad, Netzach, Malkut, Hod, Tiferet, I have not really read of Rabbi Shimon of the Zohar and his companions going any higher in their conversation than Tiferet. I'm sure they do, but this is my knowledge that I am bringing to this conversation as of now. Rabbi Shimon speaks of four generations, and over and over and over again. The generation of Moses, the generation of David, the generation of Solomon, and heretically he privileges himself, Rabbi Shimon, and his companions as being the most superior generation. Superior even to Moses, who glowed from having been in the presence of God's face, because Rabbi Shimon and his companions claim to have that kind of glow and have that kind of experience with divinity. We can think of, in Christianity, the four apostles as being those kinds of four generational aspects. And while I have not assigned attributions, I am thinking of doing so in the future, we can think of the four suits as being an expression of those four generations, particularly the core cards. And in a conversation with Paul, I mentioned that I felt that the Grail legend that Mary had brought up was a kind of combination of the Hebrew love of Torah and God's longing, the Lord's longing for his Shekinah, Malkut, and the Christian rites of the Mass, that somehow all of this comes together. And Paul cited some scholarship that's been out for a while, unknown to me, that goes into exactly these issues.
Yeah, that citation is Sir Gawain and the Knight of the Green Chapel by Norman Sims. And specifically he deals with the Sir Gawain epic as converso literature.
Right.
Literature that was bringing in, sort of a shadow Judaism that was being imported into Christianity. What he's talking about.
That is kind of what gave me the... All of this information coming in over a period of time convinced me...
Those four generations in the court card you were saying?
Yes.
You match those up, please?
Yes. I'll go over that. Biblically, it's the generation of Moses, the generation of David, and the generation of King Solomon. Rabbi Shimon of the Zohar privileges himself and his companions as being superior to the generation of Moses, which saw, of course, Moses saw God as face-to-face as anyone we know of. He says he and his companions more so.
Court cards, are these suits, you would say?
Yes, for the suits. I would consider them, to allow your thinking to think of them in terms of generations. I didn't work that way with my musicians, or David in this context. I'm passing along this information because I believe the spread to be extremely flexible. And we could be working...
Which suit is cleaner?
Pardon me? Rachel, I can't hear you.
Which suits or which
specific... I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I'm passing that on. That's something I'm going to be working with. I think I need a lot more information.
Moses and the burning bush.
Right.
We have Solomon and probably water.
The ark and the temple.
And what do we have with...
David, the lyre.
David?
If that would be water, I would think.
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you, I'm very grateful for this because this was my thinking. I wasn't going to go into it. I wanted to present to throw it out for conversation. But that's exactly the way I feel about it, and I'll tell you why. With King Solomon, the expression was, all the artists and artisans that worked on the temple, King Solomon's temple, worked with the Holy Spirit. They use very Christian language in the Zohar, as I've come to understand it, or Christians use very Hebrew language, and now reside in the house of the Holy Spirit. I refer you to Kairos. When you are working at your peak, working in your flow, working at your creative best, no matter the enterprise, you are essentially working with the artisans, King Solomon, and the Holy Spirit is with you. This is the way I look at it. When you are working in cosmos, you are working more with soul and divinity. When you are working Kronos, you are working more in the world, which is not to say that is a lesser or lower. It's just different. Rabbi Shimon and his companions privileged the lunar to the left as being superior to the solar, the right, because of the nocturnal delight of their studies with Torah and raising Malkut to her lover, the Lord, during the night from 12 to dawn. Every hour of the day is accounted for. During the day, they would walk. That would be the solar time, the active time of the spread. That's when they walked and talked and did their exegesis, so to speak. Although it went on all night as well. And these are metaphors. I'm not asking anyone to take this literally, because I certainly don't, but I believe it's something that gives us a great deal to work with, and it influenced the way I work with the spread. So without...
So, Cynthia, how did you place these onto the suits?
I did, as I said to Rachel just now, the generations I did not. However, the apostles have already been assigned to the suits.
The what?
The apostles have already been assigned to the suits, the Golden Dawn.
The four evangelicals. Yeah, the
four evangelicals.
Yeah, four evangelicals. Okay.
Right. So, you know, I'm not prepared to talk about it right now. Perhaps we can talk about it afterwards. It's a fascinating conversation. And it's something I want to clear up for myself, and maybe we can do that in a dialogue after we go through the example. Does everyone have their deck, a right-of-way Smith or a clone or something that we can work with? Because ultimately, even the gaze and the body language of the cards have significance.
So are we going to go
to David's example now? Is that...
Yeah, that's what
how
I
do you feel about
clarify,
that?
Yeah.
Okay. David wrote to me on March 2nd the following. Terry is hosting a meeting tonight for 26 people who are coming to hear a marvelous channeler and intuitive discuss the energies in the room and the greater environment around us. I ask, what are the energies around tonight's meeting? And then he said he didn't really understand the numerological format I was working with. Fortunately, you didn't have to, David, because it's really pretty simple. The King of Swords is the only master number that we're assigning here. Your your core cards will be assigned lower numbers, and we're going to go through that with everyone. From the top of David's deck, he had for his pip in his Cronus position the Six of Swords. In his Kairos position.
No, wait a minute, where'd you get that? I didn't have that.
Well, it's not the Six of Swords, it's the Four of Swords. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I have the exact printout of the spread you sent me.
Yeah, I do too, but it's a Four of Swords.
Seven of Wands, the Tower, and the Four of Swords.
That's in the Kairos position.
Okay, well...
I'm starting with the Kronos position.
Oh, the Six of Swords down at the bottom then. Okay.
The Six of Swords is the central card in the Kronos position.
Okay.
To the right of that is the Star. And to the left of that is the Knight of Cups.
No, I'm confused. Okay, now, on that triangle, the picture of the eternal time spread.
Right.
You're in the Kronos position?
I'm in the Kronos. I'm starting with the Kronos position.
So the second
you
card...
The top card, your pip card, is the Six
yes.
of Swords.
Six
to
of swords.
The right, your active incoming choice point is the Star. To the left, the Knight of Cups is your incoming lunar receptive choice point.
Okay.
Choice is very important. Free will.
All right.
Now, in the Kairos position, at the top, we privilege the Tower as the major arcana. To the right, the active solar choice point is the Four of Swords. To the left, the incoming lunar receptive choice point is the Seven of Wands. At the top, the master four card number, Chronos position, is the King of Swords. To the right, the incoming active solar choice point is the Page of Wands. And to the left, the incoming lunar receptive choice point is the Four of Cups. Does anyone need me to repeat that?
Okay, Cynthia, under the minor pip cards, the left-hand card, number two card?
Knight of Cups.
Knight of Cups, thank you.
All right, David went on to say, at that time, on March 2nd, looking at the placement of the cards and the directions of the figures, I was hit with the energy that was floating around me. Having the courage of my convictions, knowing who I am and what my intention is, I will enter into tonight's meeting, which may shake up my way of looking at my life and the direction in which I am heading. The Tower is a powerful symbol of the inflow of light into my consciousness, and I expect that tonight I will experience an inflow that will clear out the cobwebs in my mind and present me with a new way of looking at my life. The Four of Swords is telling me to take the time to absorb the message, to let it settle into my being before taking any action. The Four of Cups is telling me to deal with my emotions in a calm and gentle manner, so that I can use my mind in such a way that I am able to transcend any blockage that has been presented by my conditioning, both cultural and familial. The Page of Wands is telling me that what I hear tonight may propel me in a new, unknown, but exciting direction. The Knight of Cups to me is all about love, so the Knight of Cups is telling me to allow my subconscious to surface in such a way that I can leave my old patterns behind and move, the Six of Swords, into a new focus. It is telling me to love myself enough that I can trust the energy of the star and can become manifest. I feel the reading was powerful, insightful, and meaningful for me. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, that was an experience you had on March 2nd. When you woke up on March 3rd after the experience, how do these cards speak to you now?
Well, essentially the same way as you just expressed. I mean, the thing is, I did feel it was a very meaningful reading for me, and I felt the meeting that night was very intense. I felt discombobulated for a little bit after the meeting because I felt the meeting itself was mostly silent. But it was an inflow of energy into my psyche, and the thing is, I felt disoriented for quite a while, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that things were going on within me. So I did the spread to find out what was going on, actually, and I think it was telling me that the top of the cosmos thing, that I need to take the time to nurture myself and take the time to understand that there's something that's coming up that I don't quite understand yet.
Okay.
I'm at that point. I'm just waiting for something to happen yet. I mean,
okay.
Nothing has really happened as far as I can see.
Okay. Let's stick
I'm
with
the process of waiting.
Okay. Let's stick with the situation and refer to the sheets about the core cards. Because we have one, two, three core cards in this spread. The only core card that we're privileging as a master number is the King of Swords. So let's look for the King of Swords on your page, two pages of core cards, and we find him as a master number 33. Let's get this done with the core card because I think it will explicate things a little bit. In the Chronos or our pip section, to the left was the Knight of Cups. The Knight of Cups, we're going to privilege not with a master number, which would have been 44 had it been in the central cosmos position, but with a 4, because it is to the left. At the top, we have the page of wands to the right of the King of Swords. Let's find the page of wands on your page. It's on the second page, and it is at 22, because it is to the, it had it been in the central position. Because it's to the right, we're going to give it a number 4. These numbers are not quantitative. As I said before, I am not adding them at the end of the spread and assigning a numerological significance. What I am expressing is that the master number, the King of Swords, 30 as a 33, then the Knight of Cups, let's see, we had the Knight of Cups as the 4, and the Page of Wands as the 2. This is nice. This is a wonderful illustration of the highest, the mid, and the lower number. Not that they lack significance, although I'm privileging, of course, the central card.
The Page of Wands was a 4 because it was on the right, correct?
The Page of Wands is, yes, thank you for correcting me, is a 4 because it's on the right. However, the Knight of Cups is the lower assignation of 3. Let's see, where is he?
It was on the left.
On the left. So he.
So it's a 4 as well.
It's a 4 as well, yeah.
And the King's Swords at the top was a 33 because it was the central card.
Yes. Now, if you look at what we sent out for the master numbers, and please feel free to assign the master numbers as you feel fit. There's a lot of literature out on the master numbers. But for me, 33 is really a Buddha position, a Christic position, and Rabbi Shimon position in the Zohar. It's a more spiritual way of thinking, because of course the King of Swords is a master of thought. And bearing that in mind, it's a master of thought here coupled with what I would say is a question of heart. And that is appropriate because it's heart to heart. It's a matter of trust, and it's a matter of faith that we can move from linear time to Kairos time. And it's a bigger leap of the individual in his her situation to move to a cosmic or a truly spiritual perspective on the situation. Kairos isn't necessarily spiritual in the sense that not everyone is going to see themselves as an artist or artisan of the Holy Spirit, working along with the Holy Spirit. That may be language that you're not going to use because it evokes religious connotations that may be repugnant to the person you're reading for. So, you know, be warned ahead of time. Use appropriate language for whoever you're reading. However, I feel that in this conversation we can use this kind of language and have that kind of dialogue. Now, let's take Kronos, the Kronos linear time position. We see the 6 of Swords at the top. We've privileged that. Would you say that was appropriate to what had happened to you that night and to your feelings now, to the situation that was presented for us?
Well, I was certainly leaving from a former point of view and moving into a different outlook on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that is the flow of the Six of Swords.
Well, that's a typical reading of the card, and I felt it was an appropriate way to read in this position and in this layout. Do you feel you've been moved to higher ground in your thinking day to day? Because
yes, I do. I think I've been moving from a more mundane level of thinking into a more, I would say spiritual. Well, I'm moving in that direction.
Okay. And as a choice point, you had a choice, an active choice really with the star for what you described as, I'll let you speak in your own language, your own terms.
Well, the star to me is moving, is connecting with the higher realms. It's connecting with the spiritual realms, as above, so below. So I think I move, the Six of Swords is moving me in that direction.
Okay. And the Knight of Cups.
The Knight of Cups, that I said all along, was all about love. And I think the thing is, I'm not leaving love, but I'm using that energy of love to help me to move in the direction I want to move in.
All right. Now, just on the speaking about the backstory of your question and the fact that we're working with linear time in Kronos, Terry was the one who organized this.
Yes.
Okay, Terry is David's wife. I don't know Terry, but would you say that in any way her organization of this event, the people she invited, the moment by moment experience that she might have experienced and others experienced in the room are reflected in these three cards?
Yes, absolutely. The thing is that there were 26 people that were there, mm-hmm. and the majority of them had a marvelous experience. They'd had an experience that was very deep and meaningful to all of them.
Okay.
And, but I'll tell you up front, most of these people that have come to that group were experienced meditators. Many
right.
of them were Reiki masters.
Right. We're working with an optimal question here.
Yes, uh-huh.
So, you know, be aware of that. The guys, their situation and their questions were not this kind of question. But I thought, for our purposes, to show the eternal time spread, you know, with a question that came along by accident with David that was so advanced in as a group of people was interesting. Now I would place.
How does this tie in with Cronus then? Which is really
because this Kronos ties in the sense that this is the preparation for the event, the event taking place in time, and the experience of the, well, I guess it would be 28 people altogether with you and Terry, in that moment.
The way I'm reading it is that the Knight of Cups, as the way David's saying, is sort of a striving with a love, might be the setup, but then with the right with the star, that seems to represent a deep hope.
I felt hope was in the, you know, I let David speak in his own language. Everybody has the language and rephrase and
yeah, David, you can correct.
But I saw this because the Knight of Cups is looking at the star.
I think that you're all right with that. The thing is,
okay.
I mean, my hope is that I keep moving in a spiritual direction more than I keep, you know, moving into a more mundane life. I want to move into a life that's rich and full.
Well, you're a lot more lofty than I am because I don't privilege spirituality apart from Kronos. I believe we have to take it into our everyday life. And I think you mean that too. But
well,
I
do mean that.
Okay.
I do mean
okay. Moving on to the Kairos position, oh gosh, we have this fabulous illustration of being in the flow, a very now moment. I could even say an aha moment where you get it, things are coming together for you in your craft, in your art, in the situation, in your business, whatever. You are totally focused. The Tower card for me implies a tremendous insight coming through the seventh chakra and right down to the root chakra. And that's the way I perceive the Kairos moment. For me, the Kairos moment is the Tower card. Now, to the right, we have the Four of Swords. That's the active solar energy at the moment. What a juxtaposition. The Four of Swords in the active solar choice point, right and left being choice points. And the way David described it, correct me if I'm wrong, is you made a choice to relax and rest into the situation.
Mm-hmm. I did.
the...
Absolutely, I did that night. I tried to get out of my mind and allow my mind to be cleared so there could be an inflow of energy.
Okay. The Seven of Wands, another puzzling card, given the question for most people. You know, it shows somebody really defending his position. However, David put it in another way. David, do you want to address the Seven of Wands as an incoming energy? Or choice that you might have? Incoming energy and choice.
It's having, like I said, it was having the courage of my convictions and knowing who I was and what I wanted to do with my life and where I wanted to go. And I wanted to be open to the energies for that evening, see what would be coming in.
Okay, not hindsight being 2020, we did this spread.
Not blocking anything, right.
Before, you feel that's true, hindsight as well as before.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now that's the Kairos moment, being in the flow, your mojo is working, you're following your bliss. Cosmos.
I didn't quite understand the tower, though, in this.
Oh, okay. All right. The tower in this context, we always, in this layout, I'm always reading the most positive expression of the card, not the negative, not in the negative. For me, the positive expression of the tower is an aha moment.
Okay, so it's an inflow of light.
Yes.
The light.
Seventh, yep. to the first chakra, yes.
Right, okay.
Now, moving from Kronos through to Kairos and up on to Cosmos, or as Paul put it, Aeon, and he'll explain his language when we're done, we have the King of Swords, who we've privileged only for this reading, I keep emphasizing, as what master number, David?
33.
Okay. How does the 33 master number read for you?
Well, you know, the 33 number is about healing, and this certainly was an evening of healing energy.
Okay.
So it was right on, as far as I was concerned.
Okay. Do you feel the channeler was a healer?
Yes, I do. She's a definite healer.
Okay. All right. Now, the King of Swords is holding up his sword. It's a symbol of someone who's a master of thought. He has some negative attributions that we're not using for this reading. Would you say that there was a mind connection with this channeler, that the channeler was connecting on a mind level?
I think she was connecting on a mind level with everybody in the room.
Okay.
You know, it was a silent meditation for the whole 45 minutes that she was there. She was connecting with people, and people could feel her.
Okay. On the right, the active choice point, or solar choice point, is the Page of Wands. What number, David, have we privileged the Page of Wands with?
Four.
Okay. Now, combining what you know about four and the Page of Wands to the right and your experience that night and the card before you, what would you say about this card in this cosmos position?
What is the Page of Wands? Now, let's see. The Page of Wands is about new starts, new beginnings, excitement, moving on to something new, and the four is being grounded in whatever it is that you're doing.
All right. How do you reconcile that in the cosmos position so far, from your experience? Do you or don't you? It doesn't have to. You don't have to say yes. I mean, you know.
Well, I'm not. You know, cosmos means again the ability to take the Kairos moment and to recognize my choice points. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't in my thought processes when I was doing the reading here, and that's what I'm learning here today with you. And if I take the Kairos moment, which was an inflow of light into my life, and the choice point, am I talking about the choice point of the Four of Swords, which was about taking it in at a quiet level and absorbing it, and then the Four of Page of Wands would be to take that knowledge that I've learned from the Kairos and move it forward in a very, very solid way.
Incoming is the Four of Cups, the lunar receptive energy.
Okay, the Four of Cups.
Before and after, how would you
look
at the...
You know, if I just take a look at the card from on the right away deck, I mean, he's sitting under the tree and the hand is coming out of the cloud with the cup,
mm-hmm.
and some people would say he's rejecting it. I think he's taking it in and thinking about it.
Okay, his hands are literally covering his solar plexus. But perhaps he's about to reach out and grab that cup.
Yes, but I remember Wall saying that his hands were in his arms were in the shape of the lemniscate, so he's taking in the energy of the infinity.
Okay. All right. Does that work for you or not?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. I do want to say that I didn't put it in the notes, but I did take out Carol Herzer's chakra arcana. She only uses the majors. And for the star, she gives the second chakra and the seventh chakra. In other words, from 7 to 2 for the star. And as I said, for the tower card, it would be the root chakra and the crown chakra, crown to root for the tower. So that's just something that we can consider at another time, but my goal is to work with the chakras and the core cards next. We'll see how that goes. Now, would anyone like to ask David any questions? Does anyone have questions about David's spread for me?
Yeah, Cynthia, I'm not even sure. I'm clear on what we were saying about today, but it was,
this was like
a cold call as far as I was concerned. I mean,
this
I didn't.
What?
You know,
I'm sorry.
Like
David?
A cold call. I mean, like you're reading for me right in the moment.
Right. I didn't want to give all the information, David, because I felt that you know, maybe you would say things to affirm what I believed. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I wanted some spontaneity to a set of cards I had been privileged to see. So I didn't want to give out everything that we would be talking about today. Please forgive me for that. Because
I think it would have been easier in the long run for everybody if we had laid the cards out so we could see them instead of writing them down.
Oh, well, the reason I didn't do that let's do it. Why don't you, if you have an unshuffled deck, it makes it a lot easier in this context.
No, we don't need to do it, Cynthia. I was just saying, I think it would have been easier for me anyway to see the cards and see the relationships between the cards and see how everything stacked up.
You know, I would have done that if I had the skill to be able to work my computer the way Johanna does, and have been able to at least offer everybody pictures of the cards in the lineup.
No, I'm not criticizing. I'm just making a suggestion.
I'm not making excuses for myself. That would have been the better way.
Yeah, right.
That would have definitely been the better way.
It would have been easier. Would have been easier for me to think more about what the cards are saying to me.
Okay.
But that's okay. I mean, I got a lot out of this morning.
What I would recommend is that you leave the cards on the table and look at them in this light through your day,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps get back to me with any insights that you have. What I would like to ask, is anyone confused about the meaning of cosmos or chronos or kairos or the term choice point?
Yeah, clarify choice points.
Okay, thank you. Very, very important. I believe that we have free will. The card, the Pip Kronos, the Six of Swords, the Major Arcana, the Tower, and the in Kairos, and the Core card at the top in the Cosmic Master Number position, King of Swords, I believe are more fixed situations. In other words, this is what is in time, potentially in Kairos, and further on potentially in Cosmos. These are the cards that are available to you in those three aspects of time. However, on the right and the left of each card, you have choices. You may not have choices with the Six of Swords, the Tower, or the King of Swords, but you definitely have a choice with the Star to grab and go with it, incoming Knight of Cups, when it's to be on the alert, and that's the purpose of the spread as well, to alert you to the incoming choice points and to the active choice points you have in your life in this situation.
So you're saying that the choice points are specifically the lunar and the right, the left and the right. And are you saying
left being lunar, right being solar? Yes, those are the choice points.
Okay. Now, what's the difference between those two choice points in your?
Yes, the right side, in this case, the Star, the Four of Swords, and the Page of Wands, are what is available to David right now, or on March 2nd, when he asked the question. The Knight of Cups, the Seven of Wands, and the Four of Cups, the left or lunar incoming choice point position, are choices he will that are coming towards him. He can reject his active and his incoming choice points. I am alerting him in this. The reading alerts the querent to where his and her exercise of free will are available. To accept the grace of the Six of Swords in the, and how to accept the grace of the Six of Swords in the Kronos position, the gift and grace of the Tower, and the gift and the grace of the King of Swords. But they're in different ways. Kronos would be on a day-to-day linear, or it could be just, let's say the situation is time-based on one day. It could be just during that day. However, moving to Kairos, we take it beyond that. We take it into a very focused, creative moment that's available. When you work with Cosmos, you're taking it higher into a more spiritual realm. Although you do not have to use the term spiritual, you can use mastership of the situation.
Again, what's the difference between the lunar and the solar, the left and the right?
The right is active.
And let's go with Kairos right now.
The Four of Swords is what is active and available to David.
As choice in that moment.
As a choice point. The six cards from the bottom of the deck are all choice points.
But what's the difference between the lunar and the solar?
The lunar has not arrived yet. It is incoming. The right side, solar, is active. It's a present choice. The left side, the lunar incoming choices, are not yet there.
The lunar could be more watery, more
slower.
It could be dreams coming more slowly.
It's a question. I try to phrase things in that sense in terms of time. It's going slower.
Is there some energy that you should be aware of in a negative or
Negative at all. Nothing in this spread is red negative.
In a problematic way, then?
Not problematic at all. No, the left-hand side is not problematic, and the right-hand side is not problematic. But it is a choice. And now comes the warning. Now comes the one negative. Is everyone clear on this?
Let me try to clarify.
All right.
The right with Kairos is immediate here and now, whereas the left, the Seven of Wands, is a longer
It's going to take longer to come into the light.
So for me, that seems like background.
You have to be aware that it's important to be on the lookout for it.
you know, a foreground movement's fast, background movement's slow. That's just
okay. That's a fine way to relanguage it. However, it's available for all the bottom choice points cards. That language is what you will be using, however you put it, for the right and the left to either side of the central card.
And so essentially the same distinction would hold for...
For all three. For Chronos and Cosmos as well as Kairos, of course.
Okay.
Now, I think, let's see, what time is it?
Yeah, I think if we're all going to do a spread to actually exercise, we need to get started on it.
Okay, let's have, Paul, would you be good enough to pose a question? We're going to work on a spread, but it's going to be the same cards and the same question for everybody. Because otherwise, I think it'll be too confusing.
Oh, yeah, we're all going to have the same questions.
We're all going to have work with Paul's question, if that's okay with everybody, unless somebody has a pressing issue they want to present. We'll all work with Paul's question then.
My question is... what is the nature of the cosmos?
No. Let's take this away from something as lofty as David's. Let's take it down to a much more mundane issue.
What should I have for dinner tonight?
No. Clients that come to you come with a bit. The majority of our clients come to us with romance and relationship issues, with financial issues, but, you know, something like that.
Okay.
This is an exercise as an example, so I want to shift the language away to something that might be much more, less...
Am I going to make enough money to pay my rent at the end of the month?
That's a yes and no question. We don't work that way.
We don't work that way, all right.
No, we don't work that way. Not in the spread. There are yes and no spreads, but this isn't it.
So what is the energy around Paul's financial experience?
Paul, is that acceptable to you?
Sure.
What are the energy?
Opinions I'm going to get it will just drive me crazy.
What are the energies around Paul's financial situation? Now, this is a situation, Paul, do you want to stop me if I am exceeding my boundaries? This is a long-standing issue for Paul. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I live hand-to-mouth from week to week and somehow have survived. First thing we're going to do is shuffle the cards and then draw.
You're going to shuffle the cards, Paul.
Oh, in other words, we're only going to do one reading here?
Yes, we're only going to do one reading. Well, if you want, and I want to make sure everybody understands this, you can work with three-card spread. You can work with Chronos, you can work with Kairos, and you can work with Cosmos as your singular spread, three separate spreads.
All right, okay. Let's get...
That we could do together, but at nine cards...
All right, so the first card I drew is the Six of Coins.
That's your
pentacles.
Six of Pentacles is Paul's pip, and from the top of the deck now you are looking for a major and a core card.
Right. And then the major I drew is the Devil.
The Devil.
And then the... So the next thing I need is draw a
core card.
Work.
Your first core card.
Okay. The Wily court card that will show up eventually. Definitely buried down here. I'm still looking for that court card.
Okay, go ahead. Take your time. Swords. The King of Swords is going to be at the central position, the master number position at the top in the cosmos position. The Devil is going to be by your left hand in the as a central card for the Kairos position. And to your right hand, it's the Six of Pentacles, I believe you said, will be the central card at the top for your Kronos position. Now, from the bottom of your deck, from your shuffle deck, remove six cards.
Mm-hmm.
Place one to the right of your minor and to the left of your minor.
Position for after those three cards is the Two of Coins.
That's on the right, the Two of Pentacles?
Two of Pentacles.
And to the left?
The left number two position is the Nine of Pentacles.
Nine of Pentacles. Okay.
And
now moving to Kairos on the right, card number
the
three.
The three position is Nine of Swords.
Nine of Swords. And to the left, four cards.
Yeah. Three of Wands.
Three of Wands.
And then
the
fifth
position, the right?
In Cosmos is
number five.
The Eight of Wands.
Eight of Wands. And to the left?
And to the left is the Two of Swords.
The Two of Swords. Okay. Would everyone take out those cards from their deck?
So hopefully
your decks aren't shuffled.
So the first card for the minor pip card, first card was the Six of Coins.
Right.
And the major arcana card is the Devil.
And the court card
is the King of Swords. And then the first position under Kronos is the Two of Coins. Second position is the Nine of Coins. Third position is the Nine of Swords. Fourth position is the Three of Wands. Fifth position is the Eight of Wands. And the sixth position is the Two of Swords.
Okay, give folks a minute to get their cards. Card is the Six of Pentacles. To the right, the active choice point, solar choice point, is the Two of Pentacles. To the left, the incoming receptive lunar choice point is the Nine of Pentacles. And this is linear time. In the Kairos position, we have the Devil as the central major. We have the Nine of Swords as the active choice point to the right, and the Three of Wands as the incoming lunar choice point to the left. In the cosmic position, the master number 33 is the King of Swords in the central position. To the right is the active available choice point, Paul, the Eight of Wands. And on the left is the incoming lunar choice point, the Two of Swords. Does anyone have any questions about the placement of the card? We took the Six of Pentacles, the Devil, and the King of Swords from the top of the deck, and the other six cards to the right and to the left of these from the bottom of the deck. We've assigned 33 to our only core card in this spread to the King of Swords. Where we have we seen him before? Okay. Let's look at Chronos or linear time. And let's recall the question. Paul has asked, what are the energies around my financial situation? In linear, day-to-day, clock, calendar, astrological, if you will, time, Paul, what would you have to say about the Chronos sequence?
The Six of Coins?
Yes.
Well, generally, it's the charity one, philanthropy, gifts, material gain, wealth, measured generosity, favors, money, monetary stuff.
Do you feel that you've been the recipient or the giver of those things in this situation?
Actually, that's my attitude. I may not have much money, but I'm pretty free with it. I do.
Okay.
I'm now, be a grasshopper, not an ant.
What's available to you with this wonderful lemon scot of pentacles here and the Two of Pentacles? Bips in the background.
Well, yeah. See, so I see this Two of Pentacles as a little procrastination, a little difficulty in making things get started,
You feel you're
maybe I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I'm always living hand to mouth. That I haven't saved up, that I have to go to the ant every now and then and ask to be given shelter against the storm.
So right now, I'm talking about right now, in this moment, do you feel you're juggling your options?
Juggling my options? Well, no, I more see it as the issue of timing and procrastination.
Okay. All right. Now, taking this on a day-to-day basis, what do you think that the Two of Pentacles is telling your Six of Pentacles in this situation?
It's saying get off your duff and do something to make it actually work.
Okay. If you were to take this active choice point available to you on a day-to-day basis right now, incoming to you is the Nine of Pentacles. This would be a choice you could make and will be available to you in a little while. How do you view that in light of what came before?
The Nine for me represents, abundance, accomplishment, and so in my case it's the immediate thing I've got to do certain things immediately. The background issue is there's abundance there, and everything's going to work out as it always does. By nitty or gritty, it always works.
Okay.
Most people, I don't think, want to live the way I do, but I'm used to it, I guess.
Can I add an input?
Sure.
Sure.
Looking at the choice point that's coming in, the lunar choice point, I remember from the class we took with Walt, he said the secret of that particular card was darkness rising. And so it's like everything is fine the way it is. Everything is, you've got everything going for you, but everything is getting to the point where it's over with.
That hawk has to be unhooded.
Pardon?
The hawk has to be unhooded.
The hawk has to be unhooded so you can fly, that's right.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I think the energy of that card is very positive in the sense that everything is done, you've done, Paul, but you're ready to move on. And the active card says, how am I going to do that? I'm going to move on in a very balanced way to, you know, my skills in dealing with finances. And I think you're very good at dealing with finances, and given the situation.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I've always worked in the past with an occasional you know, bump in the road.
You're ready to move on.
Let's move on to the Kairos system, which is... I'm sorry?
Can I interrupt?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. One thing just struck me is a comment, the hawk needs to be unhooded.
Yes.
So that is changing the picture. And I always wonder about those kind of approaches.
Okay.
That we should change the picture, because maybe the hawk needs to be hooded.
All right, that's an interesting comment.
So to think about it, if you follow the picture, then the hawk should be hooded.
All right. I think the hawk in this situation with Paul is, of course, hooded, but he has a choice to unhood the hawk and set it free.
Okay.
And I think that's just a symbolic metaphor. That's the way I took it.
Yeah, I understand that.
And I think it's perfectly valid the way you're saying it, and how would you feel that would change the Kronos?
So we're saying the hawk is the devil here?
No, we're not.
Could he be changed? Not changed.
We'll get to him in a minute.
The hawk is mental discipline.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And if it hooded, you're able to focus and use what you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I like about what you just said, Rachel? The hawk is looking towards Kairos. The center lady of the Nine of Pentacles is looking towards the Six of Pentacles and the Two of Pentacles.
Uh-huh.
However, what you said, the hawk is covered so he can be focused. Am I reading you right?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's animal nature tamed. It's animal nature is tamed.
The animal nature is tamed.
Yeah.
So there's various qualities. My suggestion simply is to explore the picture as it is before we change it.
All right. Let's do that.
Yeah. So look at what may the values be of the hawk hooded before we assume that we want to set it free.
All right. Paul, does that read clear for you?
Sure.
All right. Now we have this fabulous three-card spread in the Kairos position. This is going to be interesting. Kairos, as I said before, is when your mojo is working for you, those moments when your mojo is working for you. It's when you're in the flow. It's when you're extremely focused. It's when you forget time. Now, we have the devil at the top in the Kairos position, central position.
Mm-hmm.
To the right, what is active right now as a choice point, remember, these cards are choice points. You don't have to accept them. You don't have to internalize and take them. You can let them go. Is the Nine of Swords. And to the right, incoming more slowly and as a choice point available to you, is the Three of Wands. Okay. How does the devil speak to you in the Kairos position for your situation?
Well, for me,
yeah.
Both as an opportunity and as a limitation. You know, for one thing, you know, I'm a Capricorn, so the devil doesn't scare me particularly. But to the degree that it represents a kind of a bondage, a kind of energy that's blocked. There may be a sense of even self-punishment at some deep unconscious level.
May I suggest to you, if I were to throw out the word for this card, the overseeing word for this card is illusion, how would that work for you in the Kairos position for your situation?
Illusion?
Yes, illusion.
Well, illusion is that, you know, and the Kairos thing is, you know, is that, you know, if there's something more, there's nothing more illusionary in our culture than money, because it's we so deeply worship it and mediate our self-worth with it, and even our ability to access things with it. So it's a deeply elusive quality in that way. And that way, you know, Earth in a sort of absolute materiality. You know, this is it. This is all there is.
Do you feel that it's undermined your sense of self and your ability to focus because of this issue?
Well, in terms of the Kairos moment, is it limits the types of things that I might otherwise do. You know, I mean, I have to pay attention to certain
let's also not forget that the devil is available to us as joy and laughter.
A sense of humor.
So moving from illusion to a sense of humor, and looking at these two cards, your active choice point being the Nine of Swords, and your incoming choice point being the Three of Wands, considering it with a sense of humor, concentrating on the humorous aspect of your situation, focusing, literally focusing on it. Do you think you would be able to do that?
The best way to deal with all of this stuff in this worry is to laugh it off.
Just laugh as you go through it.
Laugh it off, right?
That Nine of Swords, active right now, all, you know, in the standard jargon, or anybody just looking at the card, all this drum and thuris and nightmare and, you know, angst. How would you reconcile that choice point into a positive? How can you make this work? How can you make this choice point work?
Maybe sort of like, this is my anxiety run amok.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it's what that may do is it may diffuse my energies in terms of what I can actually do. Yeah.
But do you feel that you have a choice? A choice to, through humor, to lessen that anxiety? By concentrating on humor in this situation specific to anxiety?
I'm offering it as a consideration. Humor isn't the term I would use for the Nine of Swords, you know?
No, the term I would not use for the Nine of Swords. However, in Kairos position, you do have the devil, which offers you that. Rachel, are you addressing this issue?
Yeah.
I cannot hear you.
Oh, sorry, the speakerphone doesn't work too well. Is that better?
Okay. That's better.
Okay. So, what I'm thinking of is Kairos, as I understand you, is to be quite completely in the moment and in the flow of the energy.
Right. Right.
So if we think of, so these are issues around money, is that correct, Paul?
Right. Money.
So the devil is materialism.
Yeah.
And feeling trapped.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be the Kairos of this moment. You know.
I would say that in another reading, you would be correct. The way I read and have worked with this reading, mm-hmm, is that I would look for the more optimistic.
I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So then the Nine of Swords kind of reinforces that state.
Right.
So my sense is, if you take that as a kind of Kairos of intensity, then perhaps you can travel through it and release yourself from it.
Yeah, especially when we start reading the Three of Wands.
You become free.
The Three of Wands offers a sense of practical will, basic
history of one person is like standing on the hill and looking upon what he used to be in the Devil and the Nine of Swords.
Right, right.
I would posit that, not to forget, that with the devil we also have humor and laughter available to us. And I believe in this position of Kairos, it's going to be a big tool to move you forward. I hadn't gotten to the Three of Wands, but to move you forward into the Three of Wands position, which is a release from that Nine of Wands active choice point.
Yeah, the night. Yeah,
and I tend to, you know, Paul, if these were my cards, and I know I was in the situation that you're in to making the decisions you have to make, this is perfect for you. I mean, you're going through this kind of a struggle, financial
right.
struggle.
Yeah.
And you're going through the worrying about it and all that, and you're sitting
right.
up at night thinking about it and coming to certain conclusions, but not feeling right now the energy of the light that's coming into your life, because there's a new beginning for you. I mean, that is the birth of light that's coming through dealing with the issues you have to deal with. And I think when you move into the cosmic
right.
three cards, you see that energy taking a hold.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, David. That is the way I would read it.
Yeah.
The King of Swords is offering you healing. I would take
Definitely.
That as a personal offering on the part of the King of Swords to you. In this situation, this is how I'm reading that.
Can we move down to the King of Swords?
I am discussing it right now, Zoe. I was
waiting for the people to stop talking so the spotlight could be on me.
Okay, the spotlight
on you. Have something to say, Zoe? Would you like to address the King of Swords?
No, I'd like to address the Devil.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, well, I'm using Johanna's deck, Sacred Rose.
Okay.
And what occurs to me is that there's an eclipse going on here.
Mm-hmm.
In Johanna's deck, the Nine of Swords is very much a lunar card, and it's in the solar position. And then we have the Three of Wands, a solar card, in the lunar position. So I feel that the darkness is resulting from the eclipse of the Nine of Swords and the Three of Wands, giving us the darkness of the Devil.
And how would you read that as a Kairos moment, moving Paul into a better space?
Well, I see the key word for Kairos as being movement. This is a temporary thing, but right now it is a snapshot of the current Kairos energy, and Paul's natural Sun is being eclipsed by this Nine of Swords, and he's stuck. He's really stuck in this devil, this darkness of the light's not coming through right now for him.
Paul, do you have anything to say about that?
Zoe, would you read then the Three of Wands as sort of the dawn coming through through this darkness? So I'm at the apex of the eclipse, as it were.
Yes, I would see that very much as a movement forward of a kind of, well, the sun has risen again and grasping that solar energy and moving forward with it.
And we haven't heard from you. Do you have anything you'd like to say about this so far?
Me?
Yeah, you.
No, I piped in before. No.
Oh, okay. All right. Moving on, Zoe, let's work with you after I speak with Paul about this, okay? Can you hold for a second? The King of Swords, I believe, is bringing you healing, Paul, an opportunity on a really deep spiritual level.
Well, I mean,
for healing.
Personality.
In this situation. I'm not talking about other situations. I'm talking about in this financial crisis right now.
Right. Well, yeah, but also given personality type, I'm pretty close to a King of Swords anyway.
All right. You certainly are.
Tend to be, overly analytical and tend to have too many ideas.
I would not say overly analytical. I would say a healing of analysis that the King of Swords is offering you. A healing of your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing it to a whole new level. And fairly swiftly, that's going to be an option with the Eight of Wands here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, it's an active choice point.
Yeah.
And to the left, incoming, blessing, Two of Swords. How would you read that?
The the King of Swords being that the Eight of Swords is saying that things are always up in the air, which is, you know, that's the hand to mouth life. Everything is in flux, and there's a full sense of flux. With the slower force coming through here.
Wait. The King of Swords is in the cosmic position. It's the Eight of Swords, Eight of Wands that's coming in quickly.
Right. And then with the Two of Swords, which is the slower moving cosmic position, it's more oriented towards balance and harmony.
Yes. I'm using the Herzer Illuminated. And in that card, Zoe, we have an eclipse, a clear eclipse happening. So there's going to be, I feel, the eclipse is showing the energy, the quick energy of the Eight of Wands with the healing energy of the mind of the King of Swords. And, Paul, it's a real choice on your part to accept that.
Yeah.
And with the Lemon Scott in my deck, at the bottom by the figure's feet, I feel that, you know, that's already starting to move up your chakra or your physical being. So, of all the cards to the left, ironically, in my opinion, having worked this layout, I feel that card is coming in the fastest.
Which one? The Two of Swords?
The Two of Swords. Of incoming cards. Not that it's fast, but it's faster. Throwing some perspective.
It's the most right of the left.
right of the left. I do want to say, since we mentioned the Sacred Rose Trail, I mentioned the Illuminated. Many of you will be working with all kinds of different decks, and this spread can definitely work with any deck. That said, I presented it in a Rider-Waite-Smith way, because it is sort of the lingua franca in classes. And I'm very grateful for the contribution, Zoe, of the Sacred Rose Devil Eclipse moment, in your opinion, and for Carol Herzer in my deck offering the Eclipse moment as being the Two of Swords and also her chakra attributions for the majors. Let me look at the chakra attribution for the devil.
Paul, I have a question to ask you. Look at the overall spread.
Yeah.
What is your general feeling? And I'll tell you what I think. But
My general feeling is that it does represent, on a day to day flow of this stuff, that it sort of represents where I'm at now. Know that I have a sense, sort of an immediate sense of a slight panic, but I also know that I've still got time to do things about what I need to do to make things work. So in that way, it does sort of represent, you know, where I am at with, my mundane activities of, keeping my landlord happy and doing the other things I need to do.
Well,
I look at this, looking at it for you, Paul, the thing is, I look at it, I say, that's Paul. I mean, it fits you, from what I know of you, it fits you very well today, right now.
Yeah.
You asked the question, it fits you very well for where you are right now, and I would take some time and work with it, because I think it has a lot of good information in it to deal with.
Well, I think it shows.
Can you add a layer, Paul?
Yeah, I think what it shows is talent points or points of growth and opportunity that I may tend to overlook or not look at.
That's an important thing. I just want to say quickly before I forget, the chakras for the devil are the fifth, I believe, the throat, and the sixth.
Okay, now I'm going to pipe in.
Thank you, Jack.
Okay, let me pipe in. Paul, guess what?
What?
You're going to fall in love when you move. You're not going to be the king of swords anymore.
Oh, you really think that?
No wonder why
I'm stalling.
Yeah, right. You've got a relationship coming up, and it's planned for you once you make your move. It's not here yet because you have to make your move.
Yeah, well, and I'm taking my stamp sweet time.
I want to say, Johanna, that is not the way I would...
You know the way I read cards.
Yes, and I want to affirm what you just did. If you have a psychic flash, if you see something in the cards, go for it. Speak your truth, and play it off the client. I don't tend to do that with this reading per se. This is my graduation present. To a client that I've been working with a long time, and I've only had two that have not been known to me through family or friends that were referrals. And both, as I said, were musicians, and this was the language I came up with for them. They're very independent. They both learned to read the cards in those 2 years as we went along. My philosophy is to teach as I go. And this was a spread that brought them in the situation they had presented to me over and over again.
Okay, now I have other insights. Okay?
All right.
Now, the thing is with the Devil Major Arcana in Kairos, is basically you have to confront your fears and what stagnates you. That type of thing. I mean, your devil...
Johanna, I have to tell you, in this layout, if the devil, for me, had appeared to the right or the left of the Kronos position, I would say that was the time of confrontation. In the... David, or anyone else, please pipe in. In the Kairos position, the devil takes on a different aspect than in the Kronos position. And to me, that's a Kronos expression of the devil. But go ahead. Well,
how would you read the devil then?
I did read it for him. I'll go through it again. We have the standard reading of illusion. If you want to take it to the most negative, you can. I do not in this reading. I am looking at it that with laughter and humor, Paul can overcome his anxiety expressed in the Nine of Swords. Actually, through humor, make the Nine of Swords a choice point.
Well, then, the three of Wands is actually confronting fears. That's the positive aspect.
That's absolutely true.
That's the way I was reading the Three of Wands, too. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the thing is that, through laughter and humor, he can confront, he'll be able to over, and he does. That's Paul. Paul
yes,
is very
is
much
Paul.
That way.
Yes,
now, the thing is that, but as I said, in the cosmic thing, I mean, you have the, Eight of Wands, which, listen, I'm personal proof of the Eight of Wands. With 38 years with my husband. The
Eight up in the air for 38 years?
No. The Eight of Wands, every time the Eight of Wands shows up, I know there's a love affair and a very serious relationship, especially when you have the twos show with the two. So you're not going, there is a greater aspect, a greater universe waiting for you when you move back. On a spiritual and personal level.
Well, the lover in this case could be something very spiritual. It could be a spiritual relationship.
It would be a platonic relationship.
I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm not using the word platonic. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just to be open, not to label things, let things evolve, be on the alert for both interpretations.
Are you doing that numerologically?
I'm doing it because it, I see, now the healing could take place in a relationship, certainly, but Paul did not ask about relationship. Paul asked about his financial situation.
But I want to ask, I have a question of Johanna, then. How did you get the woman in this picture? Did you, the relationship, did you subtract the two from the eight to get six to get the lover?
One of the oldest definitions of the Eight of Wands is a love affair.
Really?
Yeah, a love affair leading to a love affair, depending upon the cards around it, leading to marriage.
Is that the reading from Gypsy cards or what?
No, this was one of the old Rider Waite definitions.
Really?
It's a hasty decision.
It is a love affair that takes over swift. It's the fire of fire, you know, the regenerative quality of fire.
Well, we don't have,
and then with the two,
Johanna, we don't have a King of Wands, 55 in that. We don't have fire of fire.
No.
What I'm trying to say is that's a legitimate way to read. And you have your way of reading. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm trying to present a different layout, a different purpose for this reading. And I'm very careful when I read this layout to stick to the question at hand. Now,
Can I ask a general question since we're in the wrap-up time for this presentation? Does anybody have any general comments they want to make about the spread, its possible uses, variants they might see, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful spread, Cynthia. I don't know. Think out what happened.
Jim has left the conference.
You know, like experienced people, you talked about these two magicians.
No, they're not magicians, musicians.
Musicians, yeah. But, okay, so... you could use it for anybody. I think it would bring great insight.
Yeah, one of the points I wanted to make, closing points I wanted to make is we've asked, you know, that's why I was so careful to ask Paul for something not necessarily so lofty as a channeler or a New Age or the spiritual as David's question, but to bring it down to pragmatics and day-to-day issues, because it's a spread that works there too. Many people have chronic financial issues in our time. I mean,
but you could use it for a relationship spread too.
Absolutely. And if had Paul asked that, I would have gone in more in the direction of what Johanna was addressing. But I stick in this layout. I'm not as freely. How would you say? I'm not as free with interpretation. I stick within the confines of the situation that's been presented to me and the question. I don't go outside of that. However, as an exegesis, I could say to Paul, do you want to address your relationships with other people using these cards? In that case, it changes the flavor of the reading. The question of the querent is critical. The person before you is critical. However, we did a group reading in this sense. We worked very zoharically, kabbalistically, if I may say, in the sense we acted as companions for each other. And I am very grateful to Johanna and to you, David, and Rachel, and Zoe, for everyone present and their contributions, because in the future, I hope we can continue to work this way, presenting to each other a new way of working that we've found.
It was a great learning experience.
And I want to urge you to work with just the three Kronos aspects, cards, just the Kairos, and just the Cosmos, relanguaging it as you see fit. This is my language. Paul changed Cosmos to Aeon in our conversation. You may have other language that you want to use or may have to use to communicate to a client. This is the way I felt that I certainly could present to people such as yourself, and, you know, take it from here. Don't
and I have another question.
I want some feedback. Yes, yes, David.
Okay, now, this card, he had the King of Swords. There was only one court card.
And
there was only 33 in that whole spread, which
right.
was interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, but what happens when you have several, like I did?
Yeah.
How do you work with the numerology on
okay.
that?
Okay, that I explained. If you turn to your sheets, you will mm-hmm. see that for 55, you have a choice of 10, 5, or 1. If it is to the right, to the active side, and with 44, you have a choice of 8 or 4, with 33, you have a choice of 6 or 3, and with 22, you have a choice of 4 or 2. 4 or 2. If it's to the right, pick the higher number. For instance, the 44 would be an 8. If it is to the left, incoming, it's a 4. And it's just a way of saying what's right now before you. It's bigger. Pay attention. Pay attention right now. And it's with a smaller number, it's just another way of expressing this vibration is coming in more slowly. It's weaker right now. If you're on the alert for it, you can move it, let's say, from a 2 up to a 4.
Okay, so then once you do that, then you use the numbers according to the sheet you have.
Yeah, I use this sheet. You can make
up the definition.
Yes, within parameters I do. You may find other definitions that you prefer. This is what I found to be mostly out in the, how would you say, out in the consciousness of people, if they even address master numbers, pretty much this way. Faith Javon, who I owe a great deal to for inspiring me, really, to attempt this, does a much more, everything is spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. And I felt, you know, that's just not going to work with my clients. So, you know, I can take the word healing and bring it down to, for instance, the healing of a financial situation, a romantic situation. But I did not want to use theosophical language, Christic language, the Old Testament, too heavy with clients. That was my feeling. But between us is another story.
So the 55 goes to 10, 5, or 1 because you added the 1 and 0 together, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can reference your 10s in that suit or your aces in that suit. You know, feel free. You know, that's I was thinking of that when I designed the spread, but I sort of tried to whittle it down to its most lean and mean aspects. I didn't want it to... You know, it's a 9-card spread. I had worked with these gentlemen, and usually with myself, with 3 cards. To work up to 9 cards was a big shift in my own consciousness with working with spreads. This is not you don't use 9 cards at a party. I mean, that's
no.
obvious. Or with someone who just, you know, perseverates, this isn't the layout for them. This is for someone, as I said, these two guys actually made the commitment to buy a deck, Reed Rachel and Reed Mary. So I could present something like this and use this kind of language. For someone else who's not going to do that, I would have to definitely tone my language down. Not dumb it down, tone it down.
Tone it down, yeah.
Does anyone have any questions or comments?
I have a comment.
Hi, Joe.
I just think the spread is very, very good and can work without all the master number information very nicely.
I think you're right. I think I've considered that, and I have considered not using the master numbers with the spread. The reason I did use the master numbers was because I was working with musicians and alternatively for a much shorter time, a businessman. So they understood number, they understood vibration, they understood tone, and so that was sort of their comfort zone, working with numbers. was kind of their comfort zone, so that was why I languaged it that way.
Right. You have a 9-card spread, but you have like 2
I'm sorry, I lost you. You have a 9-card spread.
But you have 2 systems of reading the 9-card spread. You have the traditional...
I have 3 systems. I have Chronos, Kairos, and Cosmos.
No, I'm referring to the tarot. You're reading the tarot and you're reading it for a long distance as well.
Oh, yes. For the central master core card. If you want to use the numbers for any core cards that come up right and left, and I suggest you do with certain people, you know, if number is a good language for them. Otherwise, no, you can abandon it, definitely.
I just want to say one thing about what Johanna was saying was she started off with saying that something was going to result from Paul's thing. And
I'm sorry, I'm losing you.
Oh, Johanna's 6 of Pentacles is all about relocation or redistribution.
Her 6 of Pentacles, where is it? In the Cronus position.
Yeah, and that's basically the start. I see that as the start-off card or the basis or foundation of the whole reading or the kickoff energy. So I really think what...
I don't mean to abort you there, but I do have to ask Paul, how does that sound to you, Paul? This is your situation, your reading.
Summarize what was being said again.
Well, I was saying that in Johanna's card, the 6 of Pentacles, it really is about relocation and redistribution.
Did you use the Sacred Rose?
Yes, I did.
No, I realize you did. Paul, did you?
No, I was using a Rider Waite.
As did I. I think what we would have to say is if you're using the Sacred Rose deck, go for a Sacred Rose. You know, respect the Sacred Rose definition. Respect any deck you're using's take. All of us have our preferences. However, I was privileging the Rider-Waite-Smith as a teaching tool.
Cynthia, I have to go. My battery's going dead, but thank you
all
very
right.
much for this. It was very,
you're very welcome.
Great blast. Okay.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I would encourage Paul, if he has a Sacred Rose deck, to lay out the corresponding cards and really look at them in terms of relationship and resources.
Okay, I will. I've got the deck here. I'll take
a look. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I think that as long as you're working within the confines of the layout and the situation, I have no problem. And as I said at the beginning, any deck will do. However, when we're working in a group, I think we need to work with one deck. That's my feeling.
Yeah, the way you privilege Rider-Waite, I deprivilege it because I feel it has to be balanced in the world.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
However, as a teaching tool, I do think that the Rider-Waite is what most people use.
Hey, I don't know. This is off topic. By the way, Cynthia, I really want to thank you for this. We're gonna. Is there any parting words? Because we're gonna close this class down, and I got a few more playful things I want to talk about.
All right. I want to thank everyone here. I want to thank Johanna, who worked so hard on the graphics, David for contributing his cards, and Paul for hosting and making a contribution in terms of being open to offering a situation that's currently in his life and allowing